call and you get what you deserve.
Good morning, everyone. It's 10 o'clock on Tuesday, September 24th, and I'm calling the to order the meeting of the Story County Board of Supervisors, and I would invite you, if you care, to join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And I've been asked by our auditor to make an announcement. Today is National Voter Registration Day, and a couple weeks ago we signed a proclamation to that effect. And to remind everybody, if you've moved since you last registered, this would be a good time to update your voter registration. And of course, we'll have elections this year, and everybody, you know, we encourage you all to vote in those. So, adoption of the agenda. I'd entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Hedden?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Agenda is adopted. Public comment number one. This comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. If anybody in the public would like to address us, please go to the microphone. Seeing nobody move to the microphone, I'll close public comment session number one. Then we have no agency reports. The next thing is consideration of minutes. We have minutes of the 9/17 canvas of the election and of the 9/17 Board of Supervisors meeting. And I'm told we can do that in one motion if we would like to.
I move approval of both of the 9/17 canvas minutes and the 9/17 Board of Supervisor regular meeting minutes.
I will second.
Any discussion? If not, then Olson?
Aye.
Hedden?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Both sets of minutes are adopted. Next, personnel actions as listed. I would entertain a motion to approve as listed.
I move to approve the personnel actions as listed.
I second.
Okay. Discussion? Hedden?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
We have adopted the personnel actions or approved them. Next is the consent agenda. Are there any items that anybody wants to pull from consent agenda? If not, I would entertain a motion to approve the items on the consent agenda.
I would move that we approve them as presented.
I second.
Okay. Discussion? And we'll vote. Olson?
Aye.
Hedden?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Consent agenda is approved. So that is item. Feels pretty good. I haven't skipped anything yet. Just keep watching them. Public hearing items. We have no public hearing items. So we'll move to 10 additional items. Joby Brogdon is going to talk to us about removal of the front entry of the Manus Justice Center. Joby, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. I got some pictures I want to include in this, so bear with me while I get them up on the screen. And I have large fingers, so.
That happens to me every time. I thought it was just a security thing.
We'll go with that.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. We'll start with this guy. Justice Center, we got a precast concrete overhang that's right at the front entry of the building. And you can kind of see it here, starting to get some stress fractures in it. And man, that one's kind of dark. Right up here in this corner, I got a better picture of it coming up next, is these precast concrete, they have embedded in the concrete, they have big steel cables and then plates. They're steel plates, so when they, to join the two together, they physically weld. It's like that column, that vertical column there is where it tucks into. I'll show the next picture. It's better to explain it that way.
Oh, wow.
See, there's the steel plate, and then there's another one that lays here. And they weld the two together. And as you can see, the concrete is starting to deteriorate to the point that it's causing me concern that it may come down.
Does water pool there?
Somewhat. It's kind of the slope of it, because that is the drain side of it because it slopes to, there's a like a flower bed on that side of it. And I thought there was one more. Yeah, here's from the underside. See, it's starting to crumble apart. So we're starting to see little pieces of concrete falling onto the sidewalk, which is a minor hazard right now, but I think within a year or two it'll become a major hazard, that larger chunks of this will start falling onto the main sidewalk. So this originally started out as we had budgeted to remove this in this fiscal year, but during budget discussions, we moved it to fiscal year 19. Well, we had a contractor lined up to remove it, and they contacted us and said that due to their schedule, because they were working on Burke Marketing Edition, and they would not be able to perform it for us. And weren't interested in doing it at a later time. So we started to seek other contractors interested in. We ran into, a lot of it is it's not a real big job. So nobody was really interested, and it took us a while to get people to actually provide us with a cost estimate to remove it. So here we are. We ended up getting two, one from a demolition contractor out of Des Moines, and that's the, it was DiCarlo Demolition, and theirs was a little over $20,000, and then to gain access to the equipment out of the front entry, there's some post bollards to keep people from driving up the main sidewalk. They'd have to remove that, but they wouldn't be able to provide the replacement of it. And then on the, when they remove these supports, we'll have to bring in some backfill and some rock where they remove them. So that's the, it's $22,500 for the removal, and then some additional dollars to replace the post bollard and whatnot. We also did receive another, not an official quote from Harold Pike Construction. It was an email, and they were wanting $65,000 estimation to remove that. And I spoke with them of why there was, their cost was so much higher than the one from DiCarlo. And come down to it, they don't specialize in demolition, so they'd have to rent a majority of the equipment to remove this. And getting in this one, due to it being on the front entry of the building, it has to be done over the weekend. So they don't work on the weekends, so they would have to do it over a course of numerous days after the building closes in the evening. So
Pike Street.
Harold Pike, yes.
Okay.
Got it. Thank you
yep.
for the additional information.
You bet.
Joby. Yeah, thank you.
So when this is taken down, what's that going to, is it doing anything other than being decorative?
It's just decorative. There's
no function. I mean, maybe you could stand under it if it rained, but there's really no function. It's not going to mess up anything with drainage to the front of the building, anything like that. It's just gone. It's clean.
It's there for aesthetics and to provide a little bit of buffer in the rain walking up to the building I suppose, get out of it for a few steps before you enter the facility. But there's no structural piece to this other than...
Anything else we should consider?
Yes. No.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions?
I thought you answered my question on why you went with the estimate that you did go with. So.
Then I would entertain a motion regarding accepting the bid.
I would move that we authorize Joby the contract with, and I'm looking here for DiCarlo, okay, in the amount of $23,500 to remove the overhang at the front of the adjustment.
I second that. Just a clarification, is the $23,500, would DiCarlo do all the backfill and everything as well?
No, we would, facilities management would handle the other aspects of it. Carla was, what, 22? 22.5. 22.5, and then the additional funds is for
and the additional 1,000 would be for what you would need to do.
Yep, for facilities management to replace the post bollard and redo the flower bed and whatnot.
Okay. Okay.
Any other questions? Any discussion? If not, Olson?
Aye.
Evans?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Thank you.
Proceed. Thank you. Think you have that done before winter?
Yes. I'm hoping so. They said they could get to it as soon as we needed them to. So.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you. And now we'll have Leanne Harder joining us for discussion and consideration of social media policy 7-day review, and Alyssa Wignall as well. And I did notice that just before I came back to, into the other meeting, there was a new copy.
There is.
So again, the new one was just odd pages, 1, 3, 5, and 7. Were those the only changes?
No. Why did it do that? Because I didn't do double-sided.
Okay. I'm sorry I didn't catch that.
No. I will run. Yeah.
No. The element is clear.
Yeah. Is the star line there?
Would you want us?
Okay. I can still, while that's...
Do you want to start talking about it? Give us the background while Alyssa's getting the copies?
Yeah.
Okay, that would be good.
So earlier this year, and actually in the past couple of years, we've been identifying just different concerns or issues that have come up when we've been talking about social media and the different policies that Story County has. We have a networking policy, and we have a social media policy. That and the explosion of social media in every single facet we see, it was earlier this year the board gave direction to staff, set up a working group of county staff individuals to really take a look at what's out there, look at other jurisdictions for some possible revisions, guidance, whatever it may be. So we did that. It was kind of a lengthy process, a little bit longer than we anticipated, and actually held off until now so we could have the full new board on board as well so that we could bring this to before you. I did put on the agenda and then did receive comments from both Lisa and Loris, and so that's what you have in front of you with the odd numbers and not the even number. So we'll get those. What I'll do is I'll start with Lisa's comments first because that's an easy one to explain where that change is. Lisa suggested on where it talks about social media accounts, and it's on the back page where you won't be able to see it. It just says social media accounts, adding the word county to clarify that's a county media account.
Which page is it? I have the full set as well.
Page 2. And actually, no, I just realized I have it on. I can pull it up here too. Since we can now access our, I don't know, it's on my desktop. I can't shoot. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. So it's on page 2 in the middle of the page. And you'll see it with yellow and blue. Sorry, yellow and green are Lisa's suggestions. Yellow and blue are Loris's suggestions. So it just says county media, social media accounts. Okay, I'm going to start then at the beginning. As I said, we took two existing policies and combined them into one. It was a social networking policy. We've now just called it all social media policy. And once this is finalized, and I'll let Alyssa address this too, there'll be necessary changes to handbook next year when the handbook is revised. We'll bring it for you today, and then the general way we've done this is put it out there for 7-day review and then bring it back for official action by the board next week or whenever that date is decided. So added some language under the general purpose and a scope, clarifying to whom it applies and how and why we're doing this. It was pretty just very vague. Then we added definitions as well. And then under definitions, Laura did suggest under the definition of social media, it just referenced the website. We actually list out the county's official website and what that is. So StoryCountyIowa.gov, again, that's in blue and then highlighted. And then under the county social media accounts, Loris did suggest language that use of any such account created prior to the effective date of this amended policy and not yet approved by the IT department must be suspended until ID department written approval has been granted. Stop me with any questions or clarification.
Can you tell me how many accounts there are that you know of?
Yes. That I know of, the county itself has our Facebook page, the Twitter page, Instagram, and our YouTube channel. And then actually under our Facebook page, but not managed by my position, and it's actually its own separate, but years ago they were linked together for whatever reason, the guidance from Facebook at that time, emergency management has a Facebook page, and then the sheriff's office. Conservation has Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and a YouTube channel. The sheriff's office has Facebook, again. I think they have an Instagram account and Twitter. The recorder has Twitter. The county auditor has her own Twitter account. And the county attorney has a Twitter and a Facebook.
And those are her official ones rather than the ones that she just identifies, her personal ones, correct, where she then identifies just being the county attorney.
That I don't know if she has her own personal one.
Okay, got it. Okay,
okay, thank you.
And I apologize, I might have missed one. I think I captured them.
Okay.
We've added some language then how social media accounts are created and established, notifying IT. I think that question was timely because we have a lot of accounts that have been created without necessarily IT being aware of it if needed. And I'll give you an example of that. It predates most of here, but our prior webmaster, when we had that position, when social media was first emerging, created the Facebook page, and that's why Story County is Joseph Story, because you had to have a first name and a last name as an individual. This was well before business and nonprofit accounts and the expansion of Facebook. When that individual left, no one had access to, no one knew the passwords, knew the email that was assigned. So it took some time to delve into that and figure that out. So that's why this language has been added to help address that. Loris did suggest on page 3, in the top third under item number 6, this language, the StoryCountyIowa.gov website agenda center, must be used for posting agendas of any county board, commission, advisory committee, or other entity required to provide notice per Iowa Code Chapter 21.
Question. The term county then modifies all of those.
Correct.
Yeah, like for the county entity.
Okay. Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead. And then under the social networking accounts, there's some bullet points. Again, the suggestion from Loris to remove specificity in regards to just identifying Homeward and Department of Human Services.
There are others. So rather than start listing and omit somebody, how about just take them out?
Then under social media accounts, the one that's before you, the proposed change is the social networking accounts, the last bullet point. It says currently posting commercial content or links where information could be viewed as an endorsement of products or services. The suggestion is to add or as favoring one commercial entity over another, offering reduced or free products or services in observance of government-related recognition days.
This is related to what I gave you information on, I think, 3 or 4 months ago, that I'd had a conversation with Brett McLean about how do we go ahead and handle Veterans Day when they, you know, the restaurants offer free food or whatever. And the discussion with between Brett was take it back to your VA commission, okay, see how they want to handle it. And then also maybe talk to Leanne about if she wants to advertise do a press release maybe in October announcing that the VA newsletter or our account is going to reflect these kinds of specials. Now, when we talked yesterday, you had talked to Brett and they were just going to do newsletter then? Is that
in a press release.
In a press release. So this is in here. We're being asked a 7-day review so we can take it out. This is what we're talking about here is that situation. You know, but we've kind of referred
it
back to
the newsletter, and it's okay to do a press release on it. Why do we have to have this edition? It says, why is it not okay to put it on Facebook? I mean, if you wanted to get the information out.
Okay. So, yes. I mean, the biggest problem, okay, issue that I see coming up related to the timeliness of social media as opposed to when it's going out with a press release or on the newsletter. And like I said, I wasn't involved in those conversations with the VA Commission. They went back to the VA Commission, okay, is that the expectation of people calling and wanting last minute, well, I see Applebee's is offering this, so with 24 hours to go, let's put this on, and timeliness, whereas the VA, I think Brett felt that he'd have more control, there'd be a deadline about that. But if this of anything in here, this is the one that I'm probably least dedicated to since the VA Commission dealt with it.
I guess my only question is, I mean, people use social media, mm-hmm. and that's how a lot of people, they don't get newspapers anymore. That is their avenue for finding out where is recognition for veterans. Mm-hmm. So I would want to make sure we're not inhibiting that, but I understand exactly what you're saying in that, gosh, you don't want to look like you're saying, gosh, I'm in favor of this restaurant over this one or this salon over this one. You don't want to do that, but I think a lot of times people, if they provide you the information, mm-hmm. they know of a deadline or provide some information, you just kind of push it out there.
Exactly.
If you don't provide it to me, I can't share it. Some people kind of learn that. Oh gosh, next year I need to make sure I get this to the VA person so it gets out there.
Least dedicated to this, married to it, whatever you want to say. Yes. This was just.
Yeah. I would be. The VA Commission's done a great job of handling this. Mm-hmm. We asked them to.
Right.
They did. I don't see a difference between being in a printed newsletter that goes out in the mail and on Facebook, on social media. I mean, to me, it's the principle rather than the medium.
Right.
Okay. So
no problem.
I would favor
scratching it out.
You're scratching it out. Okay. We're scratching it out. Tentatively. We'll make a motion later, I guess.
Got it, yeah.
Okay. Okay, continue.
Page 4 addresses how. Let me back up. So all the postings, all the information that's placed on social media is subject to open records laws. And our policy was silent on how we maintain those records and how we address requests and stuff like that. So what we did was we added a section on records management. So we had at least some guidance on how to go forth with that. And then Laura did suggest that under records management, the third bullet point, it says county offices, departments, instead of should, she suggests going must set all privacy settings to public.
Can I suggest using the term shall?
That works, shall. Sure. That works.
Yep. Okay.
Site content is also a new section. We're addressing some of the limitations that we need to clarify. It's not a public forum for debate, and it's for informational purposes only, just to make sure that that expectation is set from the beginning. And then on the top of page 5, there are a list of items of content that if they're put on, oh, we have city. It should be county social media sites.
Yeah.
County social media sites. These are a list of items that are may be restricted, subject to removal, whatever it may be. So right now there are 9. Loris does propose a number 10, use of profanity and or graphic images or written passages depicting or implying profane, obscene, or offensive actions. Then we address access and then the disclaimers that are recommended to be added to the various social media sites and terms of use. On page 6, under terms of use, Loris does suggest adding or images to 2 bullet points to go along with language or comments to clarify that it's not just the words that could potentially be an issue. And then we pulled in the social media policy in under personal use. And that is then the remainder of the proposed policy before you today.
Kind of a general concern about the disclaimers. It seems like there's going to be thinking of social media and is that there's a whole bunch of, I don't know where you put that, I'm trying to think of Facebook, where do you put all that stuff? You don't want to pin a host to the top necessarily, because then you've got these whole paragraphs pinned to the top. Is there some place?
There is some.
Would be,
you can go to the widgets and add something. Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
at the bottom, there was
a player.
It's just recommended.
Okay. It won't, be naturally flashing, bright colors because of the content that we want to get out there, but it will be there on the different social media sites.
Okay.
Any additional questions? Anything you want to add?
I don't. Do you guys have any questions? The last section of the actual social media policy we have is one that changed. We didn't change anything. We've had that in place for a few years now. It was brought in, actually written by an attorney, regulating things. We have a lot of control over what employees do on their own social media sites. There's just a few things that we ask them not to do. And not to use it during workouts. Yeah, so that one has changed.
And breaks are not considered.
Breaks, lunches, that's their own time.
That's their own time.
But what we don't want is we don't want an hour or 2 to use. I mean, we expect our employees to work when they're here,
sure.
Their own personal, doing stuff on their own time. Mm-hmm. That's why that language.
And I know that I had asked a question too on, I actually have a couple questions, but on page 7 on the, where you have the postings on the site are my own opinion, not reflected or work. My question was, a lot of people like on Facebook, LinkedIn, and some of those others, you can put like your school, your work experience, who you work for or whatever. And so my question was, does that mean you have to, on your own personal site, post this with everything that you do if you list where you currently work? And that's not the case. It's only if you were right on the county.
Mm-hmm.
That's was one reason why I wanted to reflect the county social media accounts versus the other, just to delineate between the two, because there can be some confusion.
So if someone posts on their personal, may not reflect the actual
Right,
we know
right,
the
right.
actual information, so we just try to eliminate, you know, if they get that information from one person, we ask them to put that disclaimer on there. But it's our own thing, you know, personal stuff.
So then my other question I have actually goes back to page 2. And I think it's the additional of the language of the use of any accounts created prior should be suspended until approved. I don't necessarily disagree with that. My one question is, what do we be, I mean, like if you pass this, is it then, are we saying, okay, it's automatically you have to suspend them? And I ask that because I look at like EMT and I pulled up their Facebook page real quick. I mean, they post weather and stuff on there. People follow that. My concern is, okay, are they then no longer allowed to be posting that information while they get that information? I'm just wondering if we have any latitude there for any of these, because, you know, I know a lot of the departments post things. Are we just saying blanketly, you can't do this any longer? And what's the process? I mean, how long is the process to get approval from?
Why don't we establish a 90-day time frame for them to get approval?
And for entities like that, emergency management, they are governed by a different commission. So
oh, that's true.
They'll have their own. So what happens here is when they're governed by, you know, Board of Health adopts the policy, Conservation Board adopts the policy, they may adopt the policy with certain changes, emergency management.
Okay.
So the board doesn't have authority over emergency.
Okay, and I only asked that because that was stated as to who all had Facebook pages,
yeah.
Instagram, or
right.
whatever. So I just wanted to
so
make clear as to.
What about the elected officials?
My understanding is the elected officials' page is the elected officials' review, so they would have to adopt the policy too. We can't get something right from the attorney.
And I add back to Lisa's original. I'm fine. I mean, I just put it in there in case people started saying about, well, I want to be grandfathered in, mm-hmm. and it would be it would be not something that IT. Part of the point here is that IT is aware of these. IT has interacted, and if they say I'm grandfathered, so I don't want IT to have any behind the scenes ability or control. So,
yeah.
But I'm good with 90 days if Linda likes that or whatever. Or
yeah.
We can,
yeah.
Can
yeah.
I make a suggestion?
Sure.
What was said? Uses. Any such accounts created prior to the effective date of this amended policy and not yet approved by the IT department must be approved within 90 days of adoption of the policy.
Sounds good, too.
Must receive written approval by the IT department within 90 days of policy adoption.
Because I think you're right in addressing that. You just want to, you don't want to have unintended issues at all.
Mm-hmm. As it is, I think the comments coming back at the end of the 7-day review will be varied, given that all of the various departments who use their accounts in different ways, like you said, you know, emergency management is one, getting the initial information out. The sheriff's department gets an immediate turnaround sometimes or whatever. So I think that the committee did a great job of research and everything, seeing this is a real gold standard here. Now let's see what feedback comes back.
Yeah, we definitely need one. Just with the explosion of social media, you know, various sets that are always coming into place. You know, new ones coming up or new types coming up. We need to have some sort of framework to address it.
And the 7-day review is a great. We get feedback. Stuff we don't even think of. Other individual departments and elected officials.
Sure.
Great comments.
So great.
Is it okay if I go ahead and just read the 4 changes that I think we've made and make sure we've got those, and then I would entertain a motion that we send this out for 7-day review with the changes. On the second page under county social media accounts, the last 2 lines would say, yet approved by the IT department must receive IT department written approval within 90 days of policy adoption. On page 3, the bottom, the highlighted in yellow, that we're going to delete that.
Correct.
page 4, under records management, the third bullet, instead of must, we'll replace that with shall. And the very top of page 5, the first sentence, the first line, change city to the counties. Were there any other changes that... Okay, so I would then...
You added county on page 2.
Page 2?
Because it's already in here. Though.
Right.
It's only on there.
Mm-hmm. Those are the ones we did on right here at the point.
Okay. Then I would entertain a motion that we make those changes and send this out to 7-day review.
I'll make the motion that we send the social media policy out for 7-day review.
I'll second.
Okay, any further discussion? Mm-hmm. Good.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Merkin. Aye. Thank you very much for all the work on that.
There is one more, just a heads up, that as I was going through and I linked through on page 3, it talks about social networking, and it sends you to link through to the county's adopted website linking policy. And when I went through that, I caught a couple of contradictions and discrepancies. So what Alyssa, Leanne, and I decided to do is that Leanne would bring that before us in the next couple of weeks, and then we can just talk about the discrepancies and changes in wording.
You're saying the discrepancies were from the linking?
Are in the linkage, right on the website. So rather than mix it up in here,
excellent.
Right, we'll just do it separately.
Okay, thank you for your attention. Okay, we've got it now. Next, we have discussion and consideration of directing the Director of Internal Operations and Human Resources, Alyssa Wignall, to offer a position of Director of External Operations and County Services to a selected applicant. We did do this once before. We did have a motion to offer and approved offering to Eric Christensen. And we offered, and he declined the position. I would also let everybody know that Lucy Martin has withdrawn her application for the position. So we are now looking to have a motion made for another offer.
I would make the motion that we make the offer to...
Sandra King.
Thank you, Sandra. To Sandra King.
I would second that.
Any discussion?
I would just like to emphasize something that, Linda, you said when we began the process here, or at least bring it to the board a couple weeks ago, that there were three qualified, exceptional candidates, each who brought strengths to the table. And it was a very difficult decision in making a, deciding about who got that initial offer. And so I would like to emphasize that the references on Sandra came back highly complimentary on her. We had talked about here at the board table when we talked about Sandra a little bit, about some of the answers she gave and that they were, she scored highly with us. And I'd like to just emphasize that you don't always know how a search is going to go and you don't always know how you'll end up. But we have not lost in this situation at all because we were blessed with three very, very good candidates.
Any discussion or comments?
No, I'll just kind of concur and say we did have three great candidates. I said it kind of my first time when we made the offer to Eric. For me, it really came down looking at kind of the scoring and taking into consideration the rest of the individuals who are part of the interview process. I'm glad that we are, at least so far, are not having to restart all over again, because I do think the county is lucky to have ended up with three very highly qualified individuals.
And I'd like to again thank all of the department heads and all the other staff and our staff at the board office. This has been a long process, a very thorough process, a very good process. And I really, particularly, Alyssa, I appreciate all your hard work on this.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have a motion. Any further discussion? Let's see.
Lisa Edith.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Merkin. Aye. Motion carries. Okay. And next, discussion and consideration of request from the City of Slater for the Facade Grant Improvement Program. Leanne?
Well, why is it doing that for me? No one else.
It's only doing it for you today. It's done for everyone else on a different day.
At least it's not restarting. You can see how complicated my files are if I do it that way. Okay. Thank you for bearing with me. The first few slides are, again, very familiar. The FASAD grant program is a public-private partnership that we put in place several years ago to help with revitalization for our small town business districts. Provides financial assistance to city governments. The city government is technically the applicant. However, they work in collaboration with a private business, or the board did modify the program a few years ago that the city could own the building as well. This request is for those communities under 2,000 persons. You did have a request from Huxley last week or the week before, asking them to, or asking you to waive that requirement. That would be less than 2,000. That was not acted positively upon. And then Jennifer contacted me shortly, actually thereafter, and said we might be coming forth with an application. You budget annually $10,000 as kind of a holding number, and I'll get to what has been approved yet this year. The city is required to provide matching funds equal to or greater than that provided by the county. Eligible improvements must be visible from the right-of-way and a bunch of different requirements that you've seen several times. But the property address for the specific request is in Main Street, Slater, 404-406 Main Street. The owners are Grossland Technologies. The next one shows you the general property location. It is on the south side of Main Street, kind of the main block, one of the west main of the main blocks of downtown Slater. City Hall is right here, over here on the left, right? North is looking up on the screen. It's two skinny lots, but the building's own one lot. That's why there's two addresses. Amount requested is $5,778. In total, the facade improvements, and I think there are a number of other improvements being done, but specifically those for the building that relate to the facade, total just under $30,000, $28,890,000, so 20% is at $5,778. The breakdown of the work is on the application on the screen as well, but it is returning the facade back to kind of the historical integrity that it had with the initial construction of the project. The city did indicate a matching amount of $100,000 that is through a grant for the entire project, or through the State Catalyst program, plus they're under review for a $60,000 zero interest loan.
Okay, I'd like to stop you right there. I'll bring this up now because I did call Jennifer and she called me back. So we've got a little bit of a discrepancy here. Need to clear it up. That the matching amount of a grant from a third entity or a matching amount of the loan isn't cash. And if you go back a couple slides, the city has to put in the same amount of cash money. So
that there wasn't a breakout about and then what the business is paying, but just I clarified that with Jennifer last night. That so if we give the requested amount, the city, per the long guidelines when you go through it, the city's got to give the same amount in cash.
Let me pull up the program guidelines real quick.
Yes. It is.
That's your understanding?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
So, yeah.
Do you want to come address that now? Would that be okay?
Yeah.
If she comes up now?
Yes.
It's allowable award second, yeah, second sentence.
I'm just trying to make it larger.
Okay.
So under the current guidelines, the county will award a one-time reimbursement of up to 20% or not more than 10%. The city shall provide matching funds equal to or greater than the maximum provided by the county. The matching funds can either be direct funds or in-kind. In-kind matching funds and there's a criteria for how those are demonstrated. The assigned value is reasonable, consistent, and suitably allocated within the program budget and basis used for determining the value of professional services, material or equipment, facility use, or building contributed is documented.
Right. So it's not a loan. You can't say, well, we're giving them a loan. So,
yeah. Sure. Okay. Do you want to address what the matching funds are?
We were just... I can provide some documentation on some in-kind. I don't know the exact dollars of in-kind at this point. Our public works did go into the building and remove the demolition, part of the demolition, and there's several hours there in-kind to clean up the property. And there's also several hours of my time putting forward towards writing the catalyst grant for the property as a whole. So I'm not, I guess I wondered if that is something you consider as the in-kind, or does it have to be specifically for the facade only?
Well, first of all, the rules say any work already done can't be counted. Okay, so
okay.
That kind of eliminates that.
So 28,890, that's cash, all cash.
That's the total.
That's
the price tag for the facade improvement.
That's the price tag. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then the city has received a $100,000 catalyst grant.
Okay. But that's just other information. That's not involved in this calculation.
The matching amount the city proposes using is based on the catalyst grant amount that they received.
They're trying to use the catalyst grant money as the match. And that's what we're clearing up now is no. That has to be the city coming after we award the dollar plus in kind in the future to add up to $5,778 or more. They can't use that. And a loan also, the $60,000 loan, they're going to give gross win. Doesn't count either.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, that's where I appreciate the clarification. I got a little confused as the two different granting mechanism for the facade grant request.
So the 28,890, some of that is being paid through the catalyst grant?
No. The 28,000 is the cost of the facade improvement.
And that's being paid. Okay, so you're asking for 20% from us.
Correct.
20% of the
28,890.
Okay, so where's the rest of it coming from?
Either the grant or the loan. That's what Linda's asking. Is that cash from the business? Is the 28,890 minus 5,778, or the rather 80%,
mm-hmm.
Is that going to be cash from the business minus your 20%? So that'd be 60%. Doing my math this morning. Okay.
Okay. So another way, how much of the total facade improvements is Gross Wind Technologies putting into the project?
Yeah. Well, then they kick it into this project.
Their entire project, because the building needed such extensive renovation. Uh-huh. It starts with the roof. It starts and floor joists were completely removed. I mean, the whole thing had to be gutted.
So
their entire project is $175,000. We received a $100,000 grant through the Catalyst to go towards the project as a whole.
I'm trying to separate the two out because we're not dealing with the Catalyst grant.
You're not
at all. We're just looking at the facade.
Yep.
And so I'm going to go along the line. I think where Loris is trying to go as well is that, okay, your grant you're actually going for is the facade grant. The total cost of that is the $28,890. It's not the $100,000 on here. It's $28,890. You're requesting from us the $5,778. So we're wondering where is, if you subtract, so you're down to like $21,000, where is the rest of that $21,000 coming from? Not the Catalyst. Where's the rest of that $21,000 coming from?
That's the question I asked. So hopefully.
From the property owner, Grossman Technology.
Okay. And are they really putting in cash or are they going to take it? Now I'm going to come back to the Catalyst grant of that $100,000. In other words, are they going to take it out of that grant?
The whole project's $175,000. They've got $100,000 in the grant.
So there's
$75,000
in the Catalyst. Okay.
So that's very important to know, though, because the facade, it has to be kept separate.
Because
our money can only go towards the facade part, and it can only match.
Yeah.
Okay. And after I talked with Laura, it can be taken back to our city council to actually do in cash the $5,000 to match. If that's required, so I totally understand that.
Other questions? Leanne, you have more that you want to present here? Did we kind of interrupted you?
It's okay. Just a recap of the projects that have been awarded since the program was put into place. But so far this year in fiscal year 2020, the board has awarded $5,530 to the city of Zeering. And that's it. But if my math is correct, if this were to be project were to be awarded for $5,778, of the $10,000 budgeted, there would be a negative $1,308.
Which we could fill in, if you will. We could award the entire amount, then we'd have to fill in with a budget amendment later at some point. Okay, but we could award the entire amount.
Otherwise, it would be
44.
I came with 46.50.
Who's got that?
70
that?
Plus 55, 30 is 10,000. I'll send them.
Okay. Yep. I just inferred it correctly. No.
This is part of the amount that you put in the budget every year goes into local option sales tax. The 40% local option sales tax is where it comes from. So there's room in there if you go over the 10,000 to make up for it.
Gotcha.
Okay. You're not just sweating. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks, Lisa. Okay.
That's why I call that 10,000 kind of a placeholder from time to time.
Okay. And anything else, Ben?
No.
Questions?
Again,
what was asked for, the requested money was, let's go back and look at that number too, $5,778. Okay. Entertain a motion.
I would move that we make the award for $5,778, given stipulation, pardon?
Deadline.
deadline to draw down. Got it. Yes, that was the other thing we talked about. Okay. With, per the program, says that this must be drawn down within 12 months. However, we want it drawn down by June 12th.
I just want to make sure it's drawn
down.
But
we need the deadline to have this money drawn down, which means the work must be done and the bills committed by within 12 months from today's date. So my motion.
Okay. I want to make sure you're done with your motion. I second the motion.
Okay. Any discussion? Let me just ask, 12 months, shouldn't be a problem?
No.
Okay. Good. And, okay, Olson?
Aye.
Evans?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
And Jennifer, thank you for the information you gave me yesterday about the work on the other types of grants that we have out, that you said that you've got receipts now on some of that work, and I'll be able to send that Lisa Markley's way.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Leanne. We'll see you back in a few minutes.
Okay. Yeah.
Discussion and consideration of request for a letter of partnership from KHOI. They're going for a asking for a Story County Community Foundation grant to do some work on their station, and they asked for a letter that we could send there, just explaining that we do have a partnership with them, which is an existing partnership. They do once a month. Leanne Harder goes and is on local news show, I think, and talks about things that are going on in the county. It was requested, though, however, that we put it on the agenda for approval rather than just send it, so I did so. Very simple item, and I entertain a motion.
I would so move that we authorize Linda Merkin to send a letter stating, as requested, I think they may have sent a template that she might be able to clean up there a little bit.
I'll second the motion.
With some time, I can. Thank you. It wasn't much yesterday morning. Okay, any discussion? Olson?
Aye.
Hedden?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Thank you. Next, department reports, of which there are none. We'll go then to other reports, and we have Sue McCaskey and Alyssa Wignall to talk about livestock shed. We're going to have an animal control.
Okay.
And explain how that's going to happen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So just to give you a little background, and to remind everybody that the shelter open house is this Friday from 11 to 6 with our remodeling and everything completed. We have long had the need for since we do pick up livestock in the county, there is no kind that we do not pick up. Thankfully, it's been all domestic so far, but we are responsible for picking it up, and we have not had a good place to house it. The original intention of the plan when we were talking about remodeling the animal shelter was maybe to include a livestock enclosure inside the shelter, but we determined that there'd be too many other things that we'd be worrying about, you know, mouse rat problem. I mean, there's just several things. So we decided to wait. And enter Chris and Donette Williams. So they have long been supporters of the animal shelter. Donette used to work in the jail, and Chris I've known Chris longer than Donette, actually. He was always been a supporter of the shelter and has gotten, I think, every animal from us he's ever gotten. Well, those two, of course, got married, and Chris passed away here a couple of years ago. And there is it's part of a foundation. And I just want to read the letter. Donette and I have talked about this. I've also talked about it a little bit with planning and zoning. I've also talked about it with Joby. So we kind of know what's going on. It's not going to be a complicated or a big project. I don't think that it'll be something that we really need. This is a letter from Donette. To the Board of Supervisors, I would like to donate to the Friends of the Animals, the Story County Animal Shelter. This money will be used to build a barn at the Nevada Animal Shelter at 975 West Lincoln Way, Nevada, Iowa. Construction needs to begin within a year of the donation. My donation will be $35,000 and is only to be used for the purpose of a barn for the shelter. The donation should cover most of the cost of the barn. I've spoken with Sue McCaskey, the Animal Control Director, about the donation and continuing support for the Friends of the Animals through the Christopher Williams Foundation administered by the Story County Community Foundation. I would also like to request a plaque honoring my late husband, Christopher B. Williams, who loved animals so much. The plaque would be made of bronze and placed on the barn. And upon further, she forgot herself. So if they're both of their names would be on it, on the plaque. And we briefly discussed this. But we are figuring just a very rough idea. This is a very rough idea of what it would look like. It's very basic. It's going to have a concrete floor. There would be the electricity and the water kind of run underground, so we'd have an outside spigot that we could use. And we would just put movable gates inside so that we could assemble it the way we wanted to for whatever animal we had. We do have money. We do have money, extra money, in our donation account to cover this if need be. We're guessing it's going to cost somewhere between $40,000 and $45,000. So obviously the $35,000 goes a long way into paying for this. So I guess today I would like to just kind of, first of all, let you know what had happened. It was very exciting news for us. You know, we've had the story before where we've been out in the middle of the night to pick up a horse, and now where do we take the horse? You know, we don't have a lot of places that we can take it that's safe or that's, you know, within a reasonable distance for us to go to every day and do the chores for. And our little shed, our little lean-to that's on the northwest corner of the shelter lot is just, we're telling other people how to take care of their livestock, and I don't feel like we're following what we should be doing. So we definitely need an enclosure. And this would cover everything. It would have windows. It would have a large garage door so that we could back in if we needed to. And it's like I said, nothing fancy, just very, very useful for what we would need.
I think it's wonderful. It's great. It was very hard for me in 2017, was that when we did the plans? Okay. It was very hard for me to vote to eliminate the barn at that point, knowing that the need and knowing what the calls were like. Wonderful.
Incredibly generous donation.
It's correct.
Yeah. It's wonderful. So you would like direction from us.
Yeah.
Do we have any questions first, Sue or Alyssa?
This was an unbudgeted item. So before staff moves forward and gets the quotes and brings that to the board, we needed direction from the board to move forward with this project.
Mm-hmm. I would make... Oh, it just says just
direction.
Never mind.
Yep. So am I? I will assume then and say that we will direct Sue McCaskey, Director of the Animal Shelter, to go ahead and proceed with plans for the Animal Control Livestock Shed. Is that okay?
Yes.
Anything else?
Mm-hmm. And we'll be remembering all of you and the Williams in the middle of the night when it's snowing and we have a horse to unload. Just so you know.
Oh. Could be worse.
Yeah, there's always something worse. So.
Can I ask a couple questions while you're here?
Absolutely.
Do you know yet when the ribbon cutting is going to be on Friday?
I just found out today. Leanne told me that it was going to be at noon on Friday. Now it's at 11 on Friday.
Okay, so that's at the beginning of your open house.
Yes.
And the open house is at 6.
Mm-hmm.
And just for the public, you do plan to close on Thursday afternoon.
Thursday. Yep.
Okay.
We don't need to do in the morning.
Thursday, so you can get ready for the open house.
Yep.
Okay.
And they're saying it's thunderstorms for Friday, so everybody be positive and think sunshine. Okay.
Can do.
Okay.
You got a good roof over your head.
So. We do. That we do.
Be okay. Yep. Okay. Was there anything else? Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Leanne.
All goes well. You should be able to meet my 14-year-old Sadie on Friday as well.
Yay. All right.
Hopefully I can bring her to the animal shelter, the open house. I feel like I'm going from one topic to another today, and I truly am. The item that is before you now is discussion direction regarding our new maps from FEMA and the appeal period that we have officially entered. So about 5 years ago now, FEMA and the DNR decided that all 99 counties should have as accurate floodplain maps as possible. And we have the LIDAR, which is an elevation data that the DNR had that the Iowa Flood Center was able to take using methodologies that were approved by FEMA, actually come up with some pretty detailed and well-defined floodplain boundaries. There was some time that it took from FEMA and the DNR some discussions on all the jurisdictions' behalf to have the hydrology and hydraulics approved to be used, so a little bit outside the box. But they got there, and so last December the board received, and through me, the county, the draft flood insurance rate maps and the flood insurance study. The flood insurance study is the detailed information that goes with the maps. We provided comments back to FEMA, like February. They said that once the government would reopen, it would be published in the National Register or Federal Register, and that would trigger a 90-day appeal period. That did not happen until July 19th. So technically, the 90-day appeal period for Story County to appeal the flood insurance rate maps began in July. What FEMA is doing is extending that out till this Thursday. The 90-day appeal period starts this Thursday, the 26th of September, because that is when the notice will actually be published in our local papers. And they've detailed that out in a letter that was sent to Linda as chair of the Board of Supervisors and the DNR and other representatives within the state. This is all the jurisdictions within Story County, but today we're specifically talking about the unincorporated areas of Story County for our flood insurance rate maps. So our 90-day, we are officially going to start our 90-day appeal period for our preliminary maps. That will actually run through December 25th, and there's some jokes I can make about that for Christmas Day and FEMA, but I think I might have just done it right there. But what I will be doing on December 17th, coming back to the Board of Supervisors with an official action to appeal or not to appeal the flood insurance rate maps. What I'd like to do in the next 90 days is put a public notice out there, one identifying myself as an entity with whom individuals that wish to appeal the maps, those appeals go through Story County, that they would work with me, and then I would in turn work with our county engineer's office. One thing I do want to note, if anyone does wish to appeal the maps, the science needs to be behind it, and it will be their requirement to do that and their expense. Story County will not do the hydrology and hydraulic study to do that for entities. We don't believe that the maps are not perfect. But the level of concern that we have in different areas are not considered to be official appeals. They're considered challenges. And FEMA will go in at some point and address those, and maybe before we get the final maps. But it's not, we're not saying that this elevation is wrong. We're not that level of discomfort with the maps. But if for some reason a property owner does feel that the location or whatever is wrong in the base flood elevation on their property, they will have to do the scientific data and then work through the county, though, to submit on their behalf. The appeal has to come through the county. So I'm asking direction from the board to go ahead and put a plan together to get the word out for the next 90 days. If property owners are concerned, contact me, and I will work them through the process.
Are you asking also, I mean, when you say putting a notice out, you're talking about a press release as opposed to advertising, because FEMA's going to pay for ads, right?
FEMA's already, they ran the ad last week and again this week, and we go through, we go from the latter of the two, so the 90-day appeal period starts on the 26th.
Okay. You know me, I'm all about getting information out there in front of the public, so as often as possible.
I need to carefully craft it so that the general public understands we can't just say we disagree with the map.
Okay.
There has to be a study that goes behind it. There has to be
scientific
evidence that this map is incorrect. And anecdotal, this will never flood, does not meet that requirement.
Would you have some other language in there to kind of stating that it's any assessment or that they're looking at at their expense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think what I'll do is take the guidance that FEMA provided with the letter and just include that in whatever release we have. And then again, yeah, reiterating several times at property owner's expense. And I should say, if we come to December 17th and 18th, we're still in that appeal period. It's not going to work to get on the board's agenda, obviously, to get something back to FEMA. If we get out of the 90-day appeal period, property owners can still do a letter map revision, letter map amendment at some point to change the maps. If they, again, have the scientific study. So it's not just this appeal, this time frame, but this is an official time frame that's established by FEMA that we cannot waiver from.
And I know you've been working over the last several months to transit some duties regarding floodplain management to planning and development because the director there has been trained in this. Is this appropriate to coordinate with him on this as your backup, or I don't know if you've talked to him about this.
I'm not. We're going to schedule a meeting after action today. Okay. I think if I'm not available, I have a out of office notice that people can contact Jerry Moore with floodplain questions.
Good.
I do want to have one individual be the primary source so that we can track all the contact, however.
Sure.
Okay. Okay, good. Thank you. Any other questions for Leanne?
Thank you.
And then let me just summarize and see if this is okay with everybody. It's a discussion and direction item so that we would direct Leanne Harder to post or something about it herself as a contact for any appeal notices for the FEMA floodplain maps. Is that sufficient?
Perfect.
Okay, good. Any problem with that?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
We got it.
Or any of you could do it as well if you'd like.
What?
Any of you could do it as well, too.
Oh, no, boy.
I see people jumping.
We might enjoy this, Leanne. We're not going to spoil your fun.
Thank you.
You do this very well, and we appreciate it. Okay. Upcoming agenda items.
I don't have the time. Within the next few weeks, I guess it could be as early as next week, I don't know. Coming forward with maybe just putting on the agenda about discussion about this Iowa Workforce Development, Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. Okay, where we are, what we're going to have to do. I did attend the two trainings last week, but I need to make some more phone calls to even get an ascertain about where the county might fit into this region of 11 new counties, et cetera.
Sounds like a kind of an apple cart upset. Sounds like a whole lot of potential work and maybe not a lot of money.
Correct.
Okay.
All of the above. And, yes, challenges on the appeal process not involving us. But, yes, so let me make some more phone calls, make some more kind of get even more about what would have to happen, what we might have to step up and do, et cetera. Okay.
Thank you very much for handling it. Okay. Not next week necessarily, but a few weeks down the road probably I'll be putting on the agenda FY 21 budget direction for departments and elected officials. Also, after the next StoryCom meeting, I think we'll be in a position where we have, there's been a lot of things in flux with StoryCom. I mean, it's been working towards things, but I've not been putting anything on the agenda or asking anybody to come talk about it because I wanted to wait till we really had something, we had things settled, you know, just really settle down and report this is the direction we're going in. And it's a lot of work. A lot of, we have a working group of staff from
the city, Iowa State, and Story County, who are doing a heck of a lot of work to get our new system set up. So we'll be talking about that soon as well. So
thanks for doing that.
Well, it's a work in progress. You know, a new large project sometimes has just lots of moving parts, and sometimes they're moving this way, and then sometimes they move this way, and that's why I said, you know, let's wait until we really, you know, have some of these things nailed down so we can give good information to the public, because if we'd done it a month ago, something would have changed. And good not to put out conflicting information or information that's tentative, I think, because it does change, and then people have in mind, oh, this is going to happen. Well, no, it's not, but it's a great project. We need it desperately for our interoperable systems. So we will go on to public forum number 2. Comments from the public on items not on this agenda. Is there anybody who would like to make a comment? Seeing nobody move to the microphone, I'll close public forum number 2. And liaison assignments, committee meeting updates, and announcements from the supervisor. Lawrence, you want first?
Okay. Last week, in addition to all the training we went to, and I'll, you know, let you guys make your own comments, I thought the Story County Economic Summit was great, et cetera. But the Cunger Collaboration met for the first time in about 5 months. And we haven't been meeting because United Way lost the staff person who provided the support to us. So the key thing here is that when we had been meeting in the spring and early summer, we were interested in doing a survey that focused on people using food pantries. It was an extensive, quite a lot of questions. So in the interim, there's been discussion. Also, the Story County Quality of Life group has weighed in about what they need to know. They're trying to figure out what kind of data they'd like to collect. So there's been a shift with the Hunger Collaboration. We made this decision. We're now going to look at an approach about asking a couple more general questions of more members of the public. And especially, and I appreciate this, they're emphasizing that we go outside of Ames, that we'll be talking about the rest of the county. And so I propose that we ask the libraries if volunteers could come in and ask these two questions, which are basically, have you ever not had enough food to eat in the last 12 months, or have you realize that you didn't have money to buy more food if something could have happened to the food you had? All right, those are basically the two questions. So that we want to broaden it out, because the statistics from the food pantries themselves are, once again, they still continue to climb. And we feel we can use those and maybe go back later and get more complete data for the collaboration itself. But as they look at trying to put together the 2020 quality of life, we want to make sure that we get some good information to give them that they're going to use given their parameters. So that's just to let you know that when we meet with the librarians in November, I may be bringing up just a request. Can we send some volunteers out a few times at the libraries in the small towns and just, you know, ask people, would you mind answering the two questions? So, but I think long term that's a good approach. It was nice that how sometimes groups take a break, and then when you come back together, there's a whole new emphasis on collaboration. So. And then, oh, this week, yeah, for meetings, I've got tonight Ames Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. We're slated to vote on requesting about $1.1 million from the federal government under the clean air. There's a bunch of money for improving the air. And even though our air quality is above the minimum usually, you can do it for some types of projects. And CSIRIDE is asking for this money the city is asking that we coordinate traffic signals. So it's IT technology, fiber cable, but the point will be that when you have big events or on South Duff on a big busy Saturday morning or whatever, the city would be able to remote control to get traffic moving, so not everybody's sitting there putting all of that noxious gas, et cetera, into the into the atmosphere. Wednesday night, I'm going up to McCallsburg. They have a new city clerk, and I'm just going to go in and chat with the mayor and the new city clerk a little bit, find out what, you know, kind of how things are going in McCallsburg. So it's not a city council meeting. And Thursday, I have heard in the morning, we'll be presenting a couple of questions, the discussion there, and Lisa's also sending some questions. And then Community and Family Resources in the evening. So I'll be on the road. And I'm done. Thanks.
So I have, tomorrow I'm actually going to attend to the county their harassment training.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I'm doing that tomorrow. Thursday, I have the CICS governing board meeting and then the CIR meeting. And though even though CIR is moving to disband and Hamilton County's taking that all over, until that finally occurs, we're continuing to meet. You just don't want to make, you want to make sure that nothing happens in the meantime. And our withdrawal, the 20E was a 60-day notice. I want to make sure nothing happens within that 60 days. So I have that. I will attend the ribbon cutting on Friday, too, with the animal shelter. I'm going to go ahead and go into Monday next week. I'll be up in Roland. I have a meeting with the mayor and city clerk and stuff up in Roland. I, too, will say I thought the Economic Development Summit was, I thought it was well attended. I thought it was interesting information, good information that was provided to us. Then I also want to say is last week I attended the Aging Resources meeting, and they were looking at some pretty deep cuts in a number of their programs because they had some additional rollover dollars and money from the state then that has come through. Instead of looking in areas, so for example, HERD up here, instead of receiving a 10% across the board, or 10% cut, they're looking at a 7% cut. So while they're still getting a cut, it's, you know, not as large of a cut as if it were a 10% cut. And that's not just for that. There are other programs that they have, but that was one in particular that affected Story County. There were other programs within their region that were taking a 21% cut. So they were still getting it reduced down, but or get some additional dollars, so their cut wasn't as significant. But that was,
we backfilled based on 10% cut.
Yeah, we did. Right. So we can go back and ask for that money if you want. The 3%, which would be three.
Right, and that was just
$90.
And yeah, I mean, if you have, you know, a number of those questions.
When they come to their quarterly report, we can.
Okay. Sure. Right.
Okay.
So that's what I have on my agenda.
Tomorrow, I get to go to Des Moines with my Emergency Management Commission.
That's right.
And participate in an all-day African swine fever exercise.
Yes.
Lucky me. That's what you get for being on the Emergency Management Commission. Actually, I'm really interested in it. I think it's something we really need to know, is how do we, if African swine fever, you know, hits Iowa, how do we depopulate our hog confinements along with the producers? How do we work and do that? How do we do that in a way that's all responsible? I'll come back with some ideas, I hope, or some information. Thursday night, I have several things. I don't know what I'm going to. Friday, we have the open house with the animal shelter. We're all looking forward to that. I think I will attend the emergency management lunch and learn over at the core facility.
I headed to that, too.
Yeah, okay. So you probably were. Just for fun, this weekend is the Iowa Barn Tour.
Woo! Uh-huh.
Going on some of it. I love the barn tour. And then I'll call that it. There's probably a couple other things, but really looking forward to tomorrow. I think it's an important topic. So.
Thanks for going, especially after we went to D.C. and met with some people from
there. That's where it started, with the USDA, and you ask them the questions, and it's kind of like, oh, well, we have a plan, and we say, are you sharing it with the locals? We'd sure like to know.
Right.
But it's kind of filtering down now. It's kind of filtering down. I'm glad you remembered that. So there will be other, I think there's a lot of other emergency management things. We all three did attend incident command training. Well, that was a week ago Friday, wasn't it already?
I guess, yeah, that was.
I also attended the accountability
conversations training that our HR folks had put on for department heads and elected officials. I thought the supervisors thought that was very good. And the economic development. A lot of things are going on. This has been a busy, busy, busy time. So I don't have anything else, so I'll stop talking. But I will entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
Heddens.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Merkin. Aye. We are adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
Hi. Well, it was nice to see you. Thanks for sitting through it.
Oh,
it was
variety. Start trying to come more often.
Well, appreciate it. Yeah. It's nice when there's public out there. Jennifer's here today, so we've, you know, so it's those days when you see the staff and you think, I know I appreciate you, but you kind of have to be here.
Right?
Well, I'm
I was thinking that.
Yeah.